What if I told you there's a way you could be a second shooter at a family session so you can see exactly how the photographer prepares, how they interact with their clients, what they say when they're posing, or when they choose to use fluid motion, what they do when kids might not cooperate or dad might not be in the session? What if I told you there's a way you can see what the gear is that they're using, where they're positioning themselves when they're shooting, what factors they're taking into consideration when they're shooting? What if I told you there was a way you could see what their straight out of camera images look like, and then you could see their editing process too, so you know exactly how they get those start to finish images and those polished ones you see in your Instagram feed? Now, what if I told you could be that second shooter without ever having to leave your house? What if I told you that not only do you get to watch it from home, but you didn't have to remember every single thing you were trying to learn the first time you watched it? What if you could watch and rewatch as much as you wanted? How would that improve your images, your posing, your confidence? Now, what if I told you there is a way you could be a second shooter not only for one photographer, but 26? That's exactly what you'll experience inside the 2024 Online Family Retreat. Your inspiration will soar, your art will improve, your posing will become more fluid, and your confidence is going to increase so, so much. And honestly, your clients are going to feel so much more comfortable. Head on over to themilkyway.ca/family retreat. It all gets underway May 29th, and we hope to see you there.
And we're going to leave something behind. We're leaving a gift for the planet. We're leaving a legacy. We're leaving something that generations are going to look at. So I wish that everyone knew how important our jobs are. Like, we are creating memories. We are creating something that's going to be seen like 100, 200 years from now.
Welcome to the Art and Soul Show, where we dive into heart-opening chats on photography, business, life, and that messy in-between. I'm your host, Lisa DeJaso, a mom, a photographer, and entrepreneur, and I'll be sharing honest conversations and advice for photographers with insight on mindset, entrepreneurship, and creativity. The goal of this podcast is for you to be able to gain insights and strategies that will get you real results. Because let's face it, having a photography business can be lonely, but it doesn't have to be. This is the place you can go when you need a boost of encouragement, a kick in the pants, and inspiration to pick up your camera. This is the Art and Soul Show. Hello, my beautiful friends. Welcome back to the show. I am super excited to dive into today's conversation with Deb Cook. She is a fine art photographer based in Houston, Texas. And if you haven't checked her out on social media, I highly suggest you do. You're going to fall in love with her work just as much as I have. Well, my friend, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Lisa, for having me. Hello, everyone.
So tell us who you are and what you're passionate about.
I'm just a girl, a mom with a camera, but I do have a passion for recording memories and then for teaching. I love, love, love kind of making a difference in people's lives. So whether if it's in the family, creating some beautiful memories for them, for, you know, little girls to see how gorgeous they are, a mom to see how beautiful she looks growing a baby. And then I love watching my students grow and achieving success. So that's me.
I love that. Now, you're definitely a known fine art photographer. So can you tell us and explain how you define fine art photography?
I don't know about known. I think that's just kind of you. Fine art for me, it's kind of like I'm going to tell you what I'm not. I'm not the photographer that will meet the client in the park and not knowing them and just point and shoot at them. So fine art to me has a little bit more of a custom feel to it. So I get to know my clients. We talk about outfit selections. We talk about what their house look like. We're going to hang pictures. You know, what are we doing? What are we creating? So it's all about, I think, here their expectations and creating something magical for them. So I think the fine art in my mind is that fairy tale, that magic feel to it, timeless images.
Yeah. I love that. Now, as a child, did you love fairy tale stuff? Like, was that something that you were obsessed with?
I don't think I ever did.
No,
it was never me. Like, it was never my dream to meet the princesses or go to Disney or live in the castle. I don't know. I don't know why now I have that feel to my photography. I think I enjoy timeless things. I have never been a trendy person. Like clothing wise or, you know, what's trendy in shows. I don't watch TV much. So I tend to stick with classic, which I think, you know, the fairy tale is classic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. Now, so how did you find your love of photography and specifically the fine art genre?
I think it found me. It's kind of funny, my story, but I graduated college and my husband and I decided to start a family. I didn't go to college right away when I graduated high school. I'm from Brazil, so I moved to the US and had to, you know, just jump in jobs to make money and then decided to go to college. And then my husband and I met when I was in college and we dated for a while, got married when I graduated college and decided to start a family. So I actually graduated with a big belly. I was 6 months pregnant. And obviously I wasn't going to go for an interview or anything like that. We decided that I was going to be a stay-at-home mom. But I've always loved being a stay-at-home mom and I love my kids so much. But I've always kind of resemble a little bit living a career, you know? So I decided to just have a project and bought a camera and started photographing my own kids. And next thing I know, I decided to really start. So for about 2 years, I just photographed them. And I was, you know, studying photographing in manual, studying lighting a little bit. But once I decided to turn that into a career, I took a year off and really studied. So I would cry like nightless, you know, hours and hours and hours because I couldn't figure out Photoshop. And then because it's not my first language. So everything I learned in English, but my first language is Portuguese. So for about a year, I would just sit down and try to get my vision out there. So I think that's really when I found the love for photography was when I actually sat down and studied it.
I love that. Love that. So when you have a new idea, what is your process from taking it from the idea in your head to fruition?
I run my business as a business. So this is, you know, this is my business. That's how I make money. That's how I bring the money to my family. So when I have an idea, most of the times I do not put that idea out there with clients. I have like a model or I'll have my own kids or unless the client really comes to me for something totally different and, you know, gives me that creative, like, you know,
the free reign. Yeah.
Yes. But a lot of times I feel like because they have seen it in my website or because they have seen it in my social media, I feel like that's what I need to present to them when they're hiring me. So when I have an idea, most of the times I try to build up in that idea and then grab a model, do a model call, get my kid, go outside, try it out. And then I tried several times until it actually becomes something that I'm willing to sell and I'm willing to show off to my clients. And then I come up with like a new mini session or a styled session or, you know, something like that.
I love that.
It takes a while. I'm not like, oh yeah, let's do this. Yeah, sure. Let's jump in a car and go to the park and do it.
Totally. That's one thing I kind of struggle with a little bit is that creativity of doing the personal projects, showing that, but then having like, it's very different. Like my fine artwork is so time consuming. It's such a project, as you know. And then like my regular work with my clients is typically like I have a process and I've been doing it for years. So I'm getting faster at it, but it is definitely a process. So I struggle with showing the fine art stuff and my clients' expectations. So do you have any advice on sort of getting around that?
I mean, you nail on the head, you know, it's extremely important to have that time. And with being in business for so many years now, I kind of figured out the balance of my business. So January and February normally are very low months for me because everyone had Christmas cards done. It's cold outside. So that's when I tend to like to learn something new, to be creative, to invent something, to build a new prop or to kind of let that out. And then around March, April here in Houston, we have wildflowers. Everyone wants to be outside. The colors are popping in. And that's a busy season for me. So April, May are busy months. And typically, I don't be very creative around that time. And then June and July, it's super hot. And if you've ever been yeah. in Texas, the mosquitoes are like baby bird sizes. It's so disgusting, you know. And so I try to either travel with the kids, or if I'm in town, I try to do a little bit more of studio work. I try to do something a little bit more creative in the studio. And then when I get back about August, September, it's rain months. So I kind of have to allow a little bit more time and flexibility in my agenda if I need to reschedule a session or something. It's right back to school. People are thinking about fall. And then October, November, and December are like just crazy months. There's no creativity around that time. It's the time to, you know, make money, be very consistent with my work and just, you know, do regular sessions, mini sessions, and all of that. So I think because I understand the kind of, you know, the flow of my business now, I allow myself to, you know, be go, 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 you know, in busy mode. I call it survival mode season right now. And then I allow myself to be more creative in the months that I know it's not very busy for me.
I love that so much, because I think instead of fighting the seasons of your business and the photography, you just kind of like lean into it.
Yes, I learned how, and it works for me. You know, it may be different in different parts of the world, or if you're a, you know, newborn photographer where it's not as seasonal as family photography is. So this is basically what works for me. And then when I accept projects and when I do teaching or mentoring or something like that, I try to, you know, fit that into my slow seasons instead of my busy seasons.
Now, you share your studio with another pretty famous photographer, actually. Oh, no. So can you share a little bit how you and Paloma Shell got together?
It was so crazy, Lisa. I believe in a guy up there, you know, that kind of sets our ways and has a destiny for us. But it was pretty crazy. So my friend Polly that lives here in Houston, in fact, was one of my students too. She called me one day and she's like, "Hey, Deb, Paloma is coming to Houston to do some workshops. Do you think you can host her?" And typically when you host somebody, you know, you go to their workshop and help out. And I'm like, I don't do newborns. I don't photograph newborns. I know people and I can help. And I have a lot of students that would be interested, and I have followers. Like, I'm part of all of the groups. I can help her with marketing, but I don't have the little outfits and the tables and the stuff that she needs, but I'll help her. So I got in touch with Leandro, her husband, which he's the one that does all of that, you know, behind the scenes part of her business. So we planned everything, sold out the first day. So we added a second day, sold out the second day, but it wasn't going to be at my studio. It was going to be at a local shop in town because they had everything, you know, the lights, the beanbag, the bedding, all of that stuff. So when we first, and this is the funniest part. So when I first arrived, they were already at the studio, okay, at the shop. And I started talking to her. I was like, "Hi, nice to meet you. My name is Deb." And she looked at me like I had three heads. She's like, and I'm like, "Hi." And she's like, "You speak Portuguese?" And I'm like, "Yes, I'm from Brazil." She's like, "Aren't you Deborah Cook?" And I'm like, "Yeah." Because I had gone to Brazil and I had been in like a big event over there. And she's like, "Aren't you the one that went to Click Family and spoke in Brazil?" I was like, "Yes, that's me." She's like, "And you're Brazilian?" And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I've been talking to your husband for like 3 months organizing your workshop. And you did not know, like, do you guys not talk?" It was hilarious. And after that, I mean, we just became like really good friends. And she told me, she was like, "Look, I would like to come live in the U.S. Do you want to open a studio together?" And I'm like, "Hold on, let me catch my breath."
Like, yes.
Yes. So then from there, it progressed. My business, my LLC, actually requested her visa to come work here. You know, it was a bureaucracy with the embassy and all of that. And it was in the middle of COVID. And well, COVID happened right then. So this was December 2019. And then when all of the papers, she got approved for her papers in March and COVID hit. So she couldn't get an interview at the embassy. Anyway, long story short, she moved here and we opened our studio together. It's been a strong year and a half and I could not be happier.
Oh, I love that so much. Yeah. That's so great. I think that's just so cool when, because especially because you don't even do newborns, right? So you're like, perfect.
It was like we matched. It was like the perfect marriage because I would do maternity and I've always had a love for maternity sessions, but I didn't really have anyone in town that I could send my clients to go to and then they would come back to me. My competition at the time was charging half of my price and they were really good. So I really never had anyone that could finish that cycle. So right now I do maternity and then she does newborn up to 11 months. And then when they do a year old, I do the cake smashes and then I proceed doing family photography.
I love that. That's so great. Well, congratulations. That's pretty awesome.
Thank you. And she's such a go-getter, you know, Lisa. She's so great. Of course, when you start a partnership, you don't ever know how it's going to be, if you guys are going to get along, you know, the respect of the space and all of that. And both her and Leandro have been such an amazing joy to work with.
I love that. That's so great. Yeah, she worked with us. I think she was the 2018 or 2017. She taught for the Milky Way. And she's just a lovely human. She's so great. Love that. So I love fine art. We're going to go back to fine art because I really do love it. And I love really creating only a few pieces per client. So can you share how you ensure you don't over deliver? Because as we know, fine art is really time consuming.
I like to tell my clients and I tell my students that too. Like I'm very control freak. So I am very detail oriented. The hair needs to be in the right place. I'll stop, you know, and I'll be like, okay, well, your hair needs to do this and you need to do this and you need to turn your shoulder this way or that way and things like that. So I think 90% of the time I'm preparing to shoot. I don't shoot like 15 of the same pose or anything like that. So majority of the time I will do the session and then I don't overshoot because I know in my head already what I need. And I have a workflow that has worked for me. So can I share?
Yeah.
Okay. That's something that I talk when I do, you know, workshops and when I do teaching and all that, because I think has worked for me. So it may work for, you know, people out there at home that get a little stuck on what to do. So I start out with the whole family. And the reason why is because the mom is always so stressed and she had looked at Pinterest and she has all of these perfect things and she's nervous and she wants to show the world how her family's perfect, right?
Yeah.
And then daddy don't ever want to be there. They want to be at home drinking beer, watching soccer, football, whatever, baseball, you know. And then the kids don't know what's going on, but they can feel the tense. Like dad is tense because he doesn't want to be there. Mom is tense because she knows daddy doesn't want to be there, but it's important. And the kids feel that. So if I start out with the family pose, everyone relax because daddy thinks it's almost done. Mommy's like, oof, I have that perfect picture to put it in my wall. And the kids don't know what's going on, but they are going to get ice cream if everything goes well and, you know, everything's going well because mommy's smiling and daddy's happy. So I start out with that. And then I break up a little bit. I'll do mom and the kids, mommy and each one of the kids, daddy and the kids, daddy and each one of the kids together, each one of the kids, like full body. And then I'll do like a little bit more of like a close-up headshot or three quarters where you can show like the real smiles, the personality, all of that. And then I'll go back and do like a nice family pose with like everyone tickling each other or something more playful and all of that. And then I'll finish with mommy and daddy together because chances are they haven't done a photo since like their wedding or something like that. So I always try to finish with a little bit more romantic and they know it's almost over and I'll have them like looking at me and finishing with a little kiss. I love to do my downtown dip, you know, when daddy's dipping mommy. I love that connection that it creates when they're both relaxed and happy. So I already have in my mind probably about 10 to 15 poses. And that's about what I deliver. And within those poses, maybe two or three combinations or two or three different, like maybe one smiling and one not smiling. And then the family photo, maybe everyone looking at me and then looking at each other and then maybe tickling or something like that. So I do a variation of that, but that's my workflow that I have in my mind. And typically my clients know that they're not going to be getting a lot of quantity. They're going to be getting quality.
Quality.
Yeah. Yeah,
I love that.
That's what I go for.
I think a lot of the time I get stuck because I shoot really quickly and I give a lot of prompts. So I'm moving things all the time and tweaking things. It's like, turn your head, give her a kiss, do this, higher, lower. And so I'm very directive. So I end up with these massive galleries. And then I shoot myself in the foot because I can't cull them. I'm just like, I like this one and this one and this one and this one and this one, even though they're like pretty darn the same.
Similar.
So, yes. So do you have any tips on like culling?
Yes. I like to give them a variety, but not to be overwhelmed. My galleries, they come, the packages that I offer are 15, 20, and 30 images. Not that they couldn't purchase anymore. I've had clients, in fact, last week's chose 40 images from her gallery. But I try, because I don't want them, and I don't want to be editing 100 images from the same gallery. It gets boring and it gets tiring for a while.
Boring. And that's what happens. I get bored.
Yes. I prefer that they come often, but I prefer that they choose. I think 20 is a good number for my work. Obviously, it's more money if they choose 30, but I prefer that they come and choose 20 images two or three times a year than they choose 60 images from the same gallery. So in order to do that, I try to do one or two variations of each one of those poses and that setup combination that I told you. So typically my gallery comes with, like my proof gallery comes with about 60 images. And then from there, they can reduce to 15, 20, you know, 30 images. So that's what I try to do.
So with the 60 images, what you're fully shooting?
That's what I deliver for them to choose from. Yes.
Oh,
I
mean, okay.
Maybe 120 to 150. And then I separate. And then one thing that I do, Lisa, is because I photograph with the 200, you know, and I'm very far from my subject, I may take three or four off the exact same image, but I toggle my focal point to each one of their faces just to make sure that everyone is sharp and crisp and all of that. But I'm not going to be sending them all those five or six images. I'll send one or two off that selection. So I have extra if I need to, and it's extra insurance. So I may have 150 images that I shot in a session, but they don't need to see all of them. They only need to see about 60 or 75 images.
Yeah, I love that. I know I've been a chronic overshooter since 2010. Like my average newborn gallery, I swear, is like 500. Newborn. Wow. I know. Stop it.
And they don't even move, right?
No. I know. I'm my own worst enemy. It's hilarious.
I don't want to be like very confusing for them, because the longer they take, you know, to select the images, the more time passes by and they're less likely to select a lot of images. So I try right away. My process is I photograph a session. Within a day or two, I try to send them their proof gallery, you know, and I try to have them select within two or three days. So that way I can have my editing consistent and I can have, you know, my workflow going on.
I love that. So you send them a soft proof gallery.
I do. And I know.
Awesome.
I know people were, you know, skeptical about it. My proof gallery, I have a big watermark in an entire photo that says proof, proof, proof. So here is the frame and it says proof, proof, proof. There's no way of them cropping or taking them off, removing it or anything like that. But I feel like it's important for family photography. I feel like it's important for mommy to pick the real connections, the real smiles, the real personality, you know, that she wants to look. 20 years from now, she's the one looking at that image, not me.
Oh, I love that. That's a really neat perspective, because that's one thing that I've always noticed is the ones that are my favorite images are not necessarily the favorite images of my clients.
Exactly.
So that's really interesting. I like that.
That's how it started. I used to, you know, when I first started photography, I used to select. And then I think just like most of us, over delivering, because I wasn't very confident in my work. So I would promise 20 images and then I would deliver 60. And then, you know, and then they would ask for more. They'll be like, well, but how about that one pose or this or that? So I decided to restructure my business in a way that it would work for me. And because, like you mentioned, fine art is so time consuming. It takes so long to edit each one of the images. I make it a priority if they make it a priority. So if that's their favorite, if they make it important enough for them to select and purchase it, I make it important enough for me to, you know, take my time editing that image and make it absolutely perfect for them.
I love that. Do you ever run into a situation where they're like, well, can you just give us the ones that aren't edited too?
Oh, yes, all the time.
And so what do you do in that situation?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I'm like, best representation of my work, you know,
right?
It's like,
okay,
going to a restaurant and asking for raw food. It's not
a good example. Yeah, exactly. I love that.
Can I get the eggshells just because I collect them? You know, you can't do that. You're going to have the omelette. You're going to have the final product. So that's what I tell them. I'm just like, look, one, you can't really open it because you don't have Photoshop in your computer. You can open a raw image. You know, you need a specific program. And two, that's not the best representation of my work. So I prefer that you have 10 images that you absolutely love than you have 100 images that you're barely going to look at it because they all look the same.
Or you're just going to throw a Instagram filter on and yes. I'm going to die inside.
What are you going to do? Make an album with your edited images and not edit it? You can't do that.
No.
So.
No, it ends up on Instagram.
I don't want my name out there.
No.
You know, that's not what I want people to see. I want them to see the final image. And it's such a big difference too, Lisa. Perhaps if it was a different business model where maybe I did like a wedding and I batch edit in Lightroom, it would have been different. But it's such a big difference from, you know, my raw image to my final product that I think now my clients understand. So it's been a very long time and it's in my contract. It's in my website. I talk to every single client on the phone and I explain them the process and all of that. So it's been a very long time, but every now and then I do get like, oh, well, we're going to throw it away. Can I please have it? Nope.
I love that. So how do you feel styling, light, and location play into the work that you create?
Huge, huge, huge. Location. I always talk to them like, what kind of lifestyle do you have? Are you guys more urban people? Do you enjoy going to the park? Do you go for bike rides? Do you enjoy hiking? You know, and a lot of times it takes them a while to think like, let me think. And then the second thing about location is how is your house decorated? Like, how is it everything white, Pottery Barn theme, you know, or do you have darker pieces? Is it more moody? Is it more modern? The reason I do that, I'll share with you. One time I had this like very specific look in my mind and I hired an amazing photographer to take those gorgeous pictures for me because I wanted, you know, my family in a dark, moody set and she has amazing light and everything. And then I realized that where I was going to put that photo in a big canvas in my house was a dark wall. And it didn't really go with it because I was like, now I have a dark photo with a dark wall. So I always ask them like, how is your decoration? Where are you going to put your one piece? And at that time, I'm telling them, look, where you're going to get a big piece? Where are we putting that big piece in your house? So I have them think about all of that. And then I suggest locations based on that. So if they want very light and airy, well, let's go to the beach or let's go to Blue Bonnets or a field with flowers or something like that. And if they want dark and moody, oh, my house, you know, I have dark wood floors, dark furniture. Okay, well, let's think about like maybe the forest or something with beautiful backlighting with golden hour or something like that. So location plays a big, important and then, of course, what do you want to portray? What kind of mood are we going for? What do you envision? So I always send them to my website and have them take a look at some of the locations. Now, granted, it could be like because I'm photographing a client out of town or because I'm teaching a workshop or because, you know, I travel. So I do let them know, like, look, I travel quite a bit. So if you see something that doesn't look like it's Houston. Perhaps it's not, but I'll suggest something similar for us to go. So I do give them the warning ahead of time. But I think that setting the mood for the session, the location has really big impact. And then lighting, obviously, I mean, extremely important for outdoor photography. For a studio too, obviously, but for outdoor, if you don't have good lighting, you won't have beautiful quality image, you know? So I always think about, like, where are we going first? How many people are going to be in the session? Are they changing outfits? Are they not? How old are the kids? Because, you know, 1-year-old may take me a little bit more time than a 7 or 8-year-old. Where is the location? Is it, do I have filtered light? Is it a park where I can go a little bit earlier and start like under the trees and then maybe walk a little bit more into a more open area towards the end of the session, you know? And then I always have to consider, if I think that my ideal light's going to be at 5, I always have them come in at like 4:30 because maybe they're stuck in traffic. Maybe they need to stop because baby threw up in the car. Maybe they need to use the bathroom. Maybe it's going to be a big cloud and I'm going to lose light a little bit faster and all of that. So I always think of light, and I never just show up to a location and just start photographing. If it's a location out of town and I cannot drive there the day before in the same time that the session is going to be or something like that, I at least get there 30 minutes before and take a look and have like a plan in my mind. I never just show up and like, oh, we'll figure it out. That I mentioned earlier that I'm a little control freak.
I love it. It's how you get the best result. You have to be.
Yes, because I want to know what, and then I want to show to my client that I understand what I'm doing. Well, ma'am, we're going to be right over here because the lighting is going to be hitting your face and we're going to be able to show lots of, you know, face expressions and features, or I'm going to put you sideways because we're going to have beautiful rim light and it's going to show, you know, your gorgeous blonde hair and it's going to highlight your belly. So it's always important to show them what you're doing. And then, you know, the end result that you're expecting from that, it makes you look professional, and then it sets expectations. So you don't have, well, let's try this and let's try that. No, we're not trying. We're doing it because I know what I'm doing. So lighting is extremely important. And then the outfit, one, it needs to be comfortable, because if you're not comfortable in the outfit, they're not
going to
feel good. Exactly. They're going to be tense and all of that. And then two, it needs to be something that they can see themselves in. I can, you know, just get somebody and be like, oh, this is what you're going to wear. I need to understand a little bit of what they enjoy, what the features in their bodies are that they're proud of, and things that, you know, especially us moms, things that we want to try to hide. And if they're going to have long hair, we're going to be able to hide the arm. Do they have any concerns with their body? So once I learn a little bit more about their concerns and then what they want to show, then I'm able to make a few selections. Or, you know, I have a huge closet in my studio. So my full session clients can come to the studio and they can borrow something from my studio. If they prefer to purchase something, we are very in touch with, like, I send links to them. They'll come to the studio and show me what they got. So it's extremely important. And then plus, I feel like that sets me apart from the other photographers, because I'm able to, you know, take a little bit of stress out of their life, and then it creates a better experience for them. So they keep coming back. They'll tell their friends like, oh my gosh, go to her. She has all of the outfits, or she'll tell you, you know, what to wear. She'll work with you. It's not just, you know, meet me there and let's see what we can do.
So how often are you buying new outfits?
More often than I would ever admit.
I know.
And more often than I sell some of them.
I know. I'm a hoarder. I can't help it. I'm a hoarder. I pretty much have every dress I've ever purchased. And I have a problem. Like, I have a whole room full of outfits that I probably should start liquidating. It is so funny.
I don't know what you're talking about. I do work with a few boutiques, though, in like trade bases. And for people that are listening at home that are starting photography and feel like, well, I can go and spend, you know, $20,000 in outfits, a couple of suggestions are, you can always create events. Like, I'm doing a Build My Closet event. So clients can purchase something from a link, and then you can create like Amazon wish list, or you can create wish lists and, you know, different boutiques and then say, hey, purchase this and I'll give you a print credit and I'll keep the dress. Or you can get with a local seamstress and say, hey, I have these two or three gowns that I would like for you to sew it for me. And, you know, let's work together. I'll pay your rates or I'll provide photos and you give me a discount or something like that. So there are different ways of building a closet without having to spend thousands and thousands of dollars. But that definitely not only keeps your work consistent, because you buy stuff that you like and then you show stuff that you buy that you like. And then they come to you because you have that. But also kind of, you know, allows you to offer one step more and be one step ahead in your process of a session, and your clients will come to you for that for sure.
So you ready for our lightning round?
Ooh, let's do it.
Okay. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
What do you like to cook the most?
I don't like to cook.
Oh, I love it. Good answer. Order takeout. What do you like to order takeout from the most?
I do cook, but I don't enjoy. Frozen pizza.
Pizza. I love it. What's the last thing you did for yourself as an indulgence?
Travel.
Ooh. What did you want to be when you grew up, when you were a kid?
I always thought I was going to be an architect.
Oh, interesting. What's the go-to song that lifts you up when you're feeling down?
Because I'm happy.
That's a good one. What three things do you want to be remembered for?
I want to be remembered for kindness. You know, I always think that when I die, I would like for people to come to my funeral and tell my kids, like, your mom was kind to me. Your mom made a difference in my life. And your mom was a good person. So I want to be remembered for that, for doing the right things.
Do you have any personal projects going on right now? And if you do, what is it?
Oh, my goodness. How many can I mention?
Yeah, many as you want.
I have a personal project. And I've never told anyone that besides my family. So I'll tell you, but I'd like to visit 50 countries before I turn 50.
Oh, I love that.
Yes. So that's the project that I have been working on. I guess because I grew up in another country and I have lived in the US, I have lived in Canada as an exchange student. And because I guess here in Houston, we have people from so many different cultures. I'm very sensitive to cultures and I love going to new places and getting to know people and trying the food and listening to the music. So I like to expose my kids to that as well. So I'd love to visit as many countries as I can and show them how people live different and yet happy. And we don't have it all, but we have to be grateful for what we have.
What would be your dream shoot? Where and why?
Well, in Paris with my daughter in the big puffy dress.
Yeah.
And I'm very close to make that happen. So.
I love that.
Yes.
When you feel stuck, where do you draw inspiration from?
I think God, and, you know, I just close my eyes and I say, just show me the way.
Yeah. What do you wish more photographers knew?
That we are very important. We have a very, very, very important job. We don't value ourselves like we should. We're going to die. Everyone's going to die. And we're going to leave something behind. We're leaving a gift for the planet. We're leaving a legacy. We're leaving something that generations are going to look at. So I wish that everyone knew how important our jobs are. Like, we are creating memories. We are creating something that's going to be seen like 100, 200 years from now.
What advice do you have for someone just starting out?
Within that is value yourself, like invest in education, learn, be good at what you do, you know. And then once you learn, you're going to build confidence. And when you're confident, you're going to value your work. And when you value your work, your clients are going to value your work. So I think it's all like a big old ball, a snowball. And a lot of times when you start out, if you don't have the proper education or the proper knowledge, you feel less important than somebody else. And then you feel like you're going to have to deliver, over deliver or undercharge, or, you know, work crazy hours. And then you know, you lose that balance. You ended up working too much and then you leave some gaps at home with your spouse or with your kids or within your life, health, and that's not cool.
Yep, agree. I learned that one the hard way.
That's what I wish I knew. So.
Same. So where can our listeners learn more from you?
They can go to my website. I have two websites. Most of my outdoor work is at www.deborahcookphotography.com. And then Cook is K-O-C-H. And I also have Cook and Shell Studios. So if you type in familyphotographyhouston.com, you'll be able to find us. And that's my indoor work with Paloma. So all of my studio work is in there with Paloma's studio work. And we're in social media as well. So Deborah Cook Photography on Instagram and Facebook, and then Cook and Shell Studios on Instagram and Facebook.
So I love to end my interviews with this last question, and it is, what are you curious about or artistically curious about right now?
Oh, we are ending.
I know.
Well, I told you in January and February, I like to work on something, you know, learn something or a personal project or something. I think this coming year, I'm going to try to learn a little bit more about landscaping photography. Because I enjoy traveling so much, I thought that would be such a good fit. But I don't know anything about it right now. I photograph with the 200, which I know it's not the proper lens for it. And that's all I know is that I don't have the right equipment. But other than that, I would love to learn something new.
Well, thank you for joining me today, Deb.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm so excited to be a part of this wonderful family. I have been watching you for such a long, long, long time. And I'm very excited to have a project with you coming up. Can we talk a little bit about it?
Yes. So you're going to come teach for the online newborn retreat. Yeah, yes. We're so excited to have you. Do you want to share what you're teaching on?
Yes. So I've been doing downtown sessions for a while, and it's so wild because every time I post any downtown mini sessions, it sells out in like seconds. And a lot of people ask me, like, what are you doing? Are you in the middle of the road? Do you close the road? Are there not cars? Do you get run over? So I'm actually teaching you guys about maternity in downtown Houston. And yes, we're going to be in the middle of the street. And yes, cars do pass by, and I've never been run over by any cars. And I am going to share my process for editing those images, which I think makes a big difference. So I'm going to share how I add extra sparkles to my images. A lot of people ask me if I have outdoor lighting, like if I use, you know, off camera flash. Can you imagine me like running after a with like a big old 86
with your 200?
So I'm going to show you guys how I add it and I create that magic in post-processing.
I love that. Oh, my beautiful friends, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you adored this conversation just as much as I did. And my beautiful friends, I am sending you so much of my light and love today and every single day. We'll see you next time.